I guess I need to introduce myself to my brother. I'm Melissa's husband, so.
And she owns you.
It's good to see each of you here today. I'm happy to be here. It's an interesting time to preach when you seemingly have a topic before you. It can be a hindrance or it can be a help. I believe it was a help for me this coming week, although coming up early this morning and smelling the food and smelling it now and all the good things, it's a little going to be a little difficult, but I thank you for being here, and I hope what I bring to you this morning might be helpful during this season that that is upon us. It's the beginning of a lot of seasons, and it's one of the happier times, I think, for most of us, and actually, I think most of the world. I have to warn you that I'll probably be asking impromptu questions. So, Nanette, you're first. So, I won't do that. I won't put you on the spot. But it is good to see you. I'd like to turn for an opening scripture, one that I've used often in my sermons, and it's out of Colossians, the first chapter, and it's actually a description, and it's a description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's out of the first chapter, and in this letter that Paul is writing to the Colossians, he's telling them how much he keeps them in his prayers and so forth. And this is how it starts. I'm going to pick it up in the middle and about the 12th verse. And as he's describing this, what he has been doing, and he says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this is the description that I absolutely love. It's a description, and it's not a total description, but one that has always struck me, and it's a description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it says, who has delivered us, 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. Who being Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And I love these next few verses. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I absolutely love that. It puts in perspective of who Jesus Christ is. He is our all. He is everything's all. There is no more than Jesus Christ to us. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, he might have preeminence. Nothing more important than Jesus Christ. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Not only was he given this of the Father, but he earned it. He earned it by the death, his death on the cross, and the sufferings that he had, that he made for you and I. This is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know we, and I like to think of him as a personal Savior. And it should. We should have that communion with him and that talk with him. But let's not forget with this scripture who he is. And I'd like to turn now to John, the 6th chapter. Starting with the 3rd verse. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him, and he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy that these may eat? He already knew where it was going to come from. But he asked Philip this. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. That much money, if I bought bread, just everybody would have a bite. Just a bite, just a little bit. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down and numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise were the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, they were filled. Okay? It doesn't say they had enough, you know, we distributed enough to everybody. It says, and when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above them that had eaten. This was the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things, in which all things were under his hand and for him. And what did he do? He gave thanks. He sat there, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, humbled himself, and he gave thanks. I want to turn into Luke, the 22nd chapter. Starting with the 8th verse. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye enter into the city, there ye shall meet a man, or shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, And they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The agony of what was coming was already upon Jesus' mind. He knew what was going to take place. He said, with desire, with passion, with all of this that was going on, he wanted to eat this Passover with his disciples. He wanted to be with them. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread, and he gave thanks, and brake it, and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on this table. And truly the Son of God goeth, as it is determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. He knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew what was before him. He knew he was going to be crucified. And he gave thanks. It just blows me away to think about this, who he is and what he is going to suffer. And he humbled himself and gave thanks. And yes, for what he was going to go through, he gave thanks. You know, in Isaiah, it describes what took place or who he... I'll turn to it. It's in the 53rd chapter. You know this by heart. I know it by heart. And he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Creator of all things, the Father, has laid all this upon him. And in these earlier chapters that I read, he recognizes this. This is his life. This is his life. It says he is stricken. He is smitten. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, we shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. He had to go through all of this for you and I. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And yet, in all this, what did he do? He gave thanks. He gave thanks. He remained humble. It reminds me of a scripture, and where the man comes to ask Jesus a question, and he says, "Good master." And Jesus stops him and he says, "There is none good but the Father. There is none good but the..." It shows us that example of humility and thanksgiving. Jesus Christ over and over. So here we are. Okay? I'm ready to celebrate. I'm ready to eat. I'm ready to do all the things that is accompanied with Thanksgiving. I'm ready to go to Phoenix for the reunion. I'm ready to be fed there. I'm looking forward to this special time. And it is a special time. Special time that we take out of our busy world to thank God. And I know that in the world there's a lot of things going on. You know, there is a multitude of things that can disturb us. A number of things in this nation that cause us to, if we were mine, to tremble a little bit. But for all that and all the drifting away, there's still a time set apart in this nation. Think about that. In this nation that is drifting away, there is still a day set aside to thank God for the blessings that we've received this past year. It's amazing to me. You know, it is amazing to me. It gives me a lot of hope. We set aside in this nation, and as far as we've drifted away, a time to celebrate Christmas, the birth of our Savior, to celebrate Easter, the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Savior. I'm amazed, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for that there is still in this country that mindset. I look out and, you know, I can see people here that maybe this past year, by man's standards, this hasn't been the best of years. We know some of us have suffered greatly. You know, I look at my brother-in-law, who's in the hospital now, and you know, a liver transplant and all the complications, and now what to do with his arteries blocked. He's in a bad way. And many of you, I look out and know that you have suffered in this past year from various things. And like I say, maybe it has not been the best of years. But I want to turn to a scripture. And it's out of the second chapter of Job. And this is pretty fantastic. This is pretty fantastic. I'm going to start with the seventh verse, I think. And it says, "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown." And we know this is not all that has happened to him, okay? But here we are. This is the other things that have happened that I'll get to in a minute have taken place to other people and other possessions. But here is Job, and he is smitten from head to toe, all over his body, with boils, sore boils. I haven't had a boil since I was a teenager, and I remember it. And I'm old now, and I remember it. But here is a man that was covered with these boils. And he took a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" She says, "Curse God and die. For heaven's sakes, curse God and just die. This is horrible." And that's how horrible this was. But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with these lips? To say Job had a bad year would be an understatement. I mean, a bad, bad year. I'm going to turn to the first chapter, just preceding this, and I'm going to start with the 20th and read what preceded this. Well, I'm going to tell you what preceded this. A band of people came in and stole all his sons and all his daughters, and he was not going to see them again. They took all of his cattle, all that he possessed, all that he possessed as far as livestock. They killed every servant that he had, everybody else that he had, save one. And what did Job do? Just exactly what Christ did. 20th verse. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle, and he shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped." Praise God. Thank God. He was thanking God, recognizing. And what did he say in that next verse? He said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." This is the lesson. This is the lesson of Jesus Christ. This is the lesson that he would have us to know and learn, that in all things, we are to give thanks. We are to worship him. We are to bless his name. Job recognized that everything he had. And I look out and think of the things that I have in this life. My wife, my mother, my heritage, my brother, my children, my grandchildren, all these are not mine. They're a gift. I came into this world not having a thing. Everything that you and I enjoy, everything that we take joy in, is a gift. Everything. Everything is worthy of his praise. I want to turn to the 14th chapter of Alma. And I want to get right down to the nitty-gritty in this church. I'm going to start with the 79th verse. In what we should be thankful for. I look out in this group, and we give thanks for these material blessings that we have. We count them as gifts. We count it as a gift that we've been brought in to this gospel, that we know Jesus Christ, that we know right and wrong, that I have people out there that love me and would sacrifice for me, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing of God. But I want to read, starting in the 79th verse. And this pertains to you and I. And now these are the words of Ammon to his brethren, which saith thus, my brothers and my brethren, behold, I say unto you, I have great reason. How great reason have I to rejoice? For good could we have supposed when we started from the land of Zarahemla that God would have granted unto us such great blessings? Something to be thankful for, something to rejoice. And now I ask, what great blessings has he bestowed upon us? Can ye tell? Behold, I answer you. For our brethren, the Lamanites, were in darkness, yea, even in the darkest abyss. And behold, how many of them are brought to behold the marvelous light of God. And this is the blessing which he has bestowed upon us, that what? We have been made instruments in the hands of God to bring about his great work. This is us. Do you thank your Heavenly Father for this opportunity, and you have that opportunity, I have that opportunity, to be instruments in his hands, and count it a blessing to give thanks for? Or is it an obligation that you feel you must fulfill? I pray not. This is Ammon. Listen to him. Listen to his voice. How excited he is for this gift. Behold, thousands of them do rejoice and have been brought into the fold of God. Behold, the field was ripe, and blessed are ye. For ye did thrust in the sickle and did reap with your mights. Yea, and all the day long ye did labor. And behold, the number of your sheaves, and they shall be gathered into the garners, and they are not wasted. Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harrowed up by the whirlwinds, but when the storms come, they shall be gathered together in their place, and the storm cannot penetrate them. Yea, neither shall they be driven by fierce winds, whatsoever the enemy listeth to carry them. Behold, they are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they are his, and he will raise them up at the last day. And what's he say? What's he say? Is he saying, good job, guys? Good job. No, he's not. He said, blessed be the name of our God. Let us sing to his praise. Yea, let us give thanks to his holy name, for he does work righteousness forever. For if we had not come out of the land of Zarahemla, these our dearly beloved brethren, which have so dearly beloved us, would have been racked with hatred against us. Yea, they would have been strangers to God. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I look out here, and here is Ammon talking to his brothers and giving this thanks to God that they have had success through what? The gifts of Jesus Christ, his gift. And then I look out and I see people amongst this group that have been made instruments. Do you believe that you've been made an instrument in the hands of God? I do. He's talking to us. And it came to pass when Ammon had said these words, his brother Aaron rebuked him, saying, Ammon, I fear that thy joy doth carry thee away unto boasting. But Ammon saith to them, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom. But behold, my joy is full, yea, my heart is brimmed with joy, and I will rejoice in my God. He is humble before the Lord. He knows where this success came from. He knew without a doubt that none of this was his. And he says so. I know that I am nothing as to my strength. Do you denote, you remember what Jesus Christ said? Don't call me good. There's none good but one, our Father. The same attitude of thanksgiving and rejoicing. Behold, I will boast in my God, for in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles have been wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. Behold, how many thousands of our brethren have been loosed from the pains of hell, and they were brought to sing redeeming love. And this because of the power of his word, which is in us, not because of us, but because of the gift that they had received. Therefore, have we not great reason to rejoice? Have we not great reason to thank God? Have you not great reason to rejoice in this restored gospel of Jesus Christ? Goodness gracious. The fullness of the gospel. Ninety-four. Yea, we have reason to praise him forever, for he is the most high God, and has loosed our brethren from the bands of hell. Yea, they were encircled about with everlasting darkness and destruction. Behold, he has brought them to his everlasting life. He has brought them. Right where it's due. Yea, into everlasting salvation, and they are encircled about with the matchless bounty of his love. Yea, we have been instruments in his hands of doing this great and marvelous work. Therefore, let us glory. Yea, we will glory in the Lord. We will rejoice, for our joy is full. We will praise our God forever. They had in them the same attitude as the three Nephites, did they not? We, as a church, as this Church of Christ, have the same reason to rejoice. 15, 20 years ago, what were our numbers? A couple thousand, 2,500 at the most, maybe. What are our numbers now? I don't have Gordon here. Gordon could tell us daily how many people are in the church, somewhere around 8,500. The same thing has happened, is beginning to happen in our church, in Christ's church, not our church, in Christ's church, which he has brought us into. Thank God that he has brought you here. Thank God that he has given you this opportunity. Thank God that he has given you the instruments to perform with him and because of him and in him what is right and what will bring what a fullness of joy. It is the only thing in this world that will bring you a fullness of joy. There is nothing else. I need to remind myself of that every day as I'm doing things, okay? I'm doing things and that this work is what will give us joy. And thank God that I know it. And thank God that each of you that I look out upon knows that. I want to turn to Peter. If I can find him. I'm going to turn to the first chapter. Our first book of Peter, second chapter, starting with the third verse. Talking to me, talking to you. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I say in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builder disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But, you, the ones that I'm looking upon, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth what? Praises. Praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How do you believe that Ammon and his brothers were able to convert thousands of Lamanites? They showed forth the praises. It showed within them. It shows within you that you have been called out of darkness into marvelous light, and you thank God every day of your life. 10. Which in time past you are not a people, but now, what? The people of God. The people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There is no person upon the face of this earth that has more reason to offer up thanksgiving and praise than you do. I want you to think about that. And it is true. Look at Job. Look what he has received. Not material things, but he understood the Lord. Just as you have been given this blessing, there is no person that should offer up more praises and more thanksgiving than you as you sit before me. Do it like Jesus did, with a humble heart. That is our calling. That's what's special about this season. It's what's special about every day of our lives. That opportunity to serve God and praise his high and holy name. I'm going to close, and I thank you for, I thank my brother for not going to sleep. He promised he was going to go to sleep up here or behind, but he didn't. But I thank you for your attention.